Welcome back to Switchcast Live. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, and Switchcast is the automotive-related podcast, sometimes tangentially related, where we are searching for the truth and the humor in the car industry. And we've got a lot of funny stuff and some crazy lies to unpack tonight in the automotive industry. It happens. Yes, here at Switchcast, it is automotive wisdom with a side of sarcasm or vice versa, depending on the week.
I feel like it's mostly the inverse, but we at least make sure there's some education.
Listen, it's whatever you want. We got some cool news stories tonight. Our headline is, of course, Trucker Stole a Lamborghini. That's a fun one we're going to talk about tonight. The car was recovered, but spoiler alert, probably should have said that. But we're going to get some automotive news first and do our thing. Thank you for joining us. Whether you're listening later on the audio podcast or you're joining us live on YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram, if you are the latter, go ahead and throw your comments and questions in the discussion flow of wherever you're watching live. We do enjoy interacting with you as time permits. And if we can't interact with you, there's other people who will. Discussion section gets a little spicy sometimes, but we love it. It's good for the algorithms.
That's what they say. Any publicity is good publicity, right?
Right.
Interaction is good interaction.
Right. Yeah. One of the most depressing things and wonderful things at the same time that I saw this week is a McLaren F1 is up for sale via RM Sotheby's private client sales. So it's not an auction. The car is one of the lowest mileage ones known in existence with just 457 miles.
That's a crime.
Yes. The car sold back in 2021 for around $21 million, I believe.
Ooh.
And the estimate is, of course, north of $20 million. That's basically just all they said, which is just incredibly depressing.
That is so far gone. It's like not even on the radar. It's like I will never, not even come close. I've gotten to breathe the same air that has touched a McLaren F1 on like two occasions, and that's, you know, probably fine enough. I thought about touching them, but you know, it was very much frowned upon. So
I've been charting the like my net worth relative to a Ferrari F50 to see if I'm getting closer to or farther away from owning one, and currently I've been getting farther. Well, in the last 15 years, I've gotten farther away, which is depressing because I've done pretty okay, but the Ferrari F50 has outpaced all of my earnings. Lots of hours, lots of making deals, lots of risks, and an F50 earns more money than I do just by existing. I wish I was that cool. But I have not charted my net worth relative to a McLaren F1.
I think it'd be like putting a grain of rice next to like a boulder or something. I don't know.
I think it'd be cool, though, to see like at what point in history I was the smallest fraction of a McLaren F1. Like the closest possibly. Like if I mortgaged everything, I could put X amount down on it.
Did they go down? They went down for a little bit. Like how much were they originally?
Imported to the U.S. after duties and taxes were paid through Ameritech in Connecticut, it was $1,131,120 delivered new.
Okay.
To the U.S., give or take. Yeah. They did go down from there, though, because that Rapper Dudes one sold for like $600,000. But that was then, and this is now. I didn't have 600K when they were 600K.
Yeah.
In other news, a Tesla Cybertruck Foundation Series sold for $136,000 this week on P-Car Market. Apparently, these things are dropping fast because, or I'm totally clueless, because I remember just a few weeks ago, there was all these Cyber Beasts selling at Mannheim. There was one that sold for like $244,000.
Oh, man.
So maybe I don't know what the difference is between the Foundation and the Cyber Beast, but I can't imagine it's $100,000 worth of options or value, or I don't know. Is it like a better battery or
there's an extra motor that makes it more powerful, I think is about it.
Gotcha. So another $100,000.
Nope. I think My guess is there's a, well, now that they've figured out the whole pedal business of, did you see those stories how there was like a, yes, a stop sale?
There's like a rivet that they needed to fix. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they just glued on a decorative piece that when it comes off wedges the, potentially wedges the accelerator in the like full on position.
So basically the same problem that people with old cars have with their floor mats sliding up.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think a lot of those are going to start getting delivered now. I've heard on the internet that it's only been to like California and Texas, but as they keep coming out, people are going to get less interested.
Probably. It is a good party trick, though. If you have lots of money and you want to take one to a party, like they are popular. Everybody wants to see the angle truck that a third grader designed. And I don't mean to be unkind to people who have smart third graders. I'm sorry. Kindergartner. Yeah. In other related news, I drove not a Tesla in fully autonomous mode today.
Ah, okay.
Maybe if you're Borat, I drove the car not. I don't know. How do you, what do you say when it's autonomous and you don't drive it? I didn't drive it.
You were operating a Tesla and full, you were vaguely operating. I don't know.
Yeah, that's sure. Weird.
How'd it go?
Yeah, it was fine. I was actually in the passenger seat, but somebody wanted to show me all the features. But honestly, it's cool from a tech perspective and it's neat what it can do. But it was like riding with my grandma. It was so apprehensive about everything and just like, yeah.
Which I think super I'd prefer cautious. Autonomous cars be apprehensive to do anything.
I guess, but as another driver around it, that would be really frustrating.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I would rather ride with nobody in a Tesla than a lot of people I know that I won't name because I don't want to hurt their feelings because everybody thinks they're a good driver. There's a study done one time I saw it in a book that it was like 80% of drivers surveyed thought that they were better drivers than average. The disturbing statistic.
We're not good at, humans are not good at stats. So,
well, humans also are not good at like self-realization.
Yeah.
Yes. But I feel like for the Tesla to excite car guys, they need to have different like avatars or whatever that you can pick, like with a video game, like different characters, right? So when you get in, be like, I'm not driving, but I don't want to ride with grandma. I want to ride with mom late for school. Or if you want a really smooth professional ride, I want to select limo driver or the Stig or Cannonballer. Or like you want to get really adventurous, you could do Nissan Altima with a 400 credit score. Hold on for dear life. Well, don't hold on. Don't touch the steering wheel.
It's got at least one donut.
They'd have to install oh crap handles on the driver's side. The license plate immediately falls off as soon as you select that mode. But on the way to lunch, though, before I didn't drive this Tesla, I was driving a 79 911. Hot rod that makes incredible noises and burns a little bit of oil. And so it smells oily and all the right things. And I was thinking like, I just had this moment where I was accelerating through second gear and hearing the resonance of the engine. And I'm like, I don't think life gets better than this. And then I went all philosophical. I was like, well, it definitely does, but I feel like it's much, much harder at any point in our life for things to get better. We have to work really hard at it. And then I got kind of depressed because I'm like, it's very, very easy for things to get worse, especially when they're good. When you're out driving a nice car and your life is at peace, it's like all the chaos that's happening in some of my friends' worlds. I'm like, at any moment, this could change. But there's no at any moment our life could get exponentially better. That doesn't happen by accident. That takes a lot of work. At any moment, it could get a lot worse. So it's precarious.
You turned something beautiful into something incredibly depressing.
Sorry. That's the way my mind works.
I mean, mine too. I get it. But that's not edifying, educating. That's just depressing.
Maybe but also it's entertaining. I mean, this is real life, right? I don't know. So anyway, back to EVs. I do have a confession, though. There's an EV that I really like.
What is it?
Two, actually. So one of them is the Fisker coupe thing. Or not Fisker, Karma, because Fisker made Karma and then they sold off.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost went broke, but got bailed out and sold their first company off, which now their Fisker is on the verge of bankruptcy again. Interesting news. Henrik Fisker, the founder of both Fisker and Fisker. Yeah, Fisker
one
and Fisker two. Yeah.
It's like the Lordstown Motors situation.
Well, maybe. I didn't dig into it enough to allege that. It seems like the first company sold off more legitimately, and they're still doing things. Karma is still around. The Karma Caveo is a beautiful, beautiful car. It's like the Lexus LC500 on steroids. I would totally buy that and friggin' LS swap it. So kudos to their designers. I think amazing, amazing job. But Henrik Fisker, who is the founder of the first and second Fisker Automotive, put his $35 million house for sale in California, which the article that I read noted is more than the entire market capitalization of the company.
Oh,
so yikes. Maybe he's trying to bail out his own company. But anyway, the Karma Caveo is nice, but I also like, there's a Tesla I like.
What?
I think the Tesla P90X or whatever it's called, you know, the CrossFit Tesla. P90X, isn't that CrossFit?
Yeah,
I mean, everyone else has like cross track, cross tour, et cetera. Tesla should lean into this. They should call it the CrossFit. They could change the stereotype of Tesla buyers. You know, like meatheads buy Teslas, not Vipers. They're not just for vegans.
What an advertising tagline. They're not just for vegans.
I mean, Elon has alienated a lot of his left of center politically buyers who previously were all about Tesla because of the environmental thing. They're now anti-Elon because of Twitter/X, that whole debacle, right? So they've put him on the cancel list. So he might as well just like go for the forever Trumpers and be like, yeah, Teslas are cool for bodybuilders and burger eaters. Like
burger eaters.
Come on.
Oh,
get that demographic. Anyway, I don't like my problem with a lot of the EVs are like they don't have a grill, and I don't usually like that. Like, I feel like there should be a grill. It's like making a car without mirrors. You're so expecting it that without it, it's like you cut somebody's ears off.
I feel like there's an EV that's been announced recently or has come out or is being designed that does have a grill because it aids in cooling.
Must be a BMW.
Maybe that's it. They're like, we can't get rid of this.
Yeah, right? I mean, I will say that the no grill thing is better than the giant grills on the new BMWs. They used to be what they call it, the twin kidney grill. The kidney grills on the front of the BMW. Now it's just like two friggin' human torsos on the front of a car.
The kidneys are just like from whales or something. Do whales have kidneys? I don't know. From some gigantic animal. That sounded a lot better.
They imported them from whales.
No, no, no.
Organ trafficking.
Yikes.
Well, I mean, maybe, right? Because, well, no, kidneys not to do with alcohol. It's liver, whatever. Okay. There's
we
no
tried.
Joke there.
Moving on.
Moving on. Porsche GT3 RS, a brand new one, wrecks into a river this week and got totally submerged in Washington State. It was all over Instagram, and it was on temp tags. So more than likely, they just took delivery. That's normally what happens if you see a Nissan Altima or a Dodge Challenger or Charger with temp tags. It's probably their eighth temp tag and they've owned it for 2 years, but nobody can get the title. But with normal cars, that means they just got it. So they got a little too having too much fun, went into a river and sunk it.
Yikes.
Yeah. I'm hoping he signed up for gap insurance, though, because he's underwater now.
Yes. You know, I saw a post on, I think it was Instagram or something. There was a Carrera GT that went off the road in California. California, goodness. At least that guy can blame the like suspension bits from the no stop or the stop drive. I wonder what this guy's excuse is.
So are they blaming the suspension recall? Because our friend Bradley posted on social media, like, you know, take the no drive order, the stop drive order seriously. And I'm like, well, was that actually the failure or was it just the Carrera GT effect where people can't drive them?
Yeah.
Or old tires, maybe. Or whatever has caused all the other accidents.
Is there also a 992 GT3 RS effect?
I don't know.
He's been wrecked.
I don't know. I mean, maybe nobody told the owner that it was already water cooled. I'm just here for the "you can't park there" comments. Yeah.
Just leave a sticker on the back window, because at least in the photo I see, that's all that's above water. Like, you suck at parking.
Right. We have the "you parked like an idiot" card, so you can put on, it's like a ticket on there. Yeah.
Hop in the river and stick that below the windshield wiper. Switchcast, as always, is brought to you by Boxcast. Boxcast is a live streaming company based in Cleveland, Ohio. They serve broadcasters and viewers around the world. Their founders launched Boxcast back in 2013 with one purpose: to make people a part of the experience. So if you're looking to live stream your podcast, church service, car show, sporting event, wedding, or even your cannonball attempt, Boxcast is an easy and flexible live streaming platform for organizations. Boxcast is so easy, in fact, that we're broadcasting this show with a phone. So head on over to switchcars.com/boxcast to start your free trial.
We're going to do a little trash talk of Porsche people now.
Oh, I'm so excited. Let's go. Let's go.
I'm just going to roll right into this. If you're just joining us, welcome back after the commercial break. I'm your host, Doug Tabbitt, and this is Switchcast. If you're watching live, feel free to post your comments or questions in the flow of wherever you are joining us. On Instagram this week, Porsche sales guru or something like that, I don't remember his exact tag, posted a video about a GT3 for sale, and he opens up with, "This is not your normal Porsche." I was like, ooh, okay, this could be interesting.
Sign me up.
I got a little excited until I realized that it was just Corvette rare, which is my term for the phenomenon of when a not rare car is deemed rare because of a specific set of options. So this guy starts out with, oh, it's a touring, which is just a GT3 without a rear wing, which has become a new status symbol of I'm going to pay more to get less. Ugh. Granted, I like it without the wing, but
I prefer it, actually.
I just friggin' buy a regular GT3 and then buy a deck lid for the price difference.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. That's the number one status symbol. And then he goes, oh, and it's got the right seats. It's got 18-way seats, which is the comfort seats, not the fixed back carbon fiber bucket seats, which arguably the carbon bucket seats are more desirable for resale. So, you know, it's a selling whatever you've got as the best.
If I had a touring, I'd get the comfort seats 100%.
Maybe.
I'm not sure if I represent most Porsche buyers. I'm too poor for that. But
it's typical car salesman. Whatever I have for sale is the best.
Oh, yeah. Gray interiors are fantastic, Doug. You should keep that in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the interior on this car was nothing. It was just black. But he's, oh, it's got PCZBs and maybe it was paint to sample. But the problem is here, like, rare has become ubiquitous. We've talked about this before. And like, not many people in the Porsche spec world have a sense of adventure or individuality anymore. And I think that's what's kind of like chapping my rear end about this whole spec game of like trying to have the rarest Porsche with a certain paint to sample color, is that nobody has actual individuality. I love like crazy spec cars. I love it when you do purple leather interior with white stitching everywhere and like go to the factory and say, I want this. We can't do that. I'll give you money. Okay, we can do it.
Yeah.
Like, that was the old days. Now it's just like, you have to give us more money if you want status to get another allocation. So I'm going to add these options, not because I want them, but because everybody else is doing it. Or I'm going to do it because, you know, because of resale. Right, I'm going to get paint to sample because it's more rare, because when I go to Cars and Coffee, there's 8 other GT3s and only 2 are paint to sample. Like, it's just people are doing things to please other people, not because they have an imagination about what car they're specking out. And this was confirmed to me this week. It gets confirmed every week. But I took at least 2 calls, maybe more, plus messages through social media that people were – like directly asking about cars as investments. And one of them was trying to get into the Porsche game. Very successful guy, but he's trying to get into the Porsche game by buying a brand new 911, specking it out, then getting a Turbo S in order to get a GT3. And he's like, well, how much am I going to lose on the first 2 to get the GT3? I was like, I don't know, but I have a question for you. So why do you want a GT3? It's like, oh, well, because, you know, because they're desirable and I can, you know, I can probably flip it to make money or whatever. I was like, you fail.
God,
you fail. And he actually wanted the Turbo S, but then he's like, well, you know, it's this thing if I can get in, and then Porsche says they'll sell me other desirable cars. And I was like, well, listen, one, why do you want them? Unless you want them because you want them. Great. But it's just like, it's like the Rolex game. Everybody's a Rolex customer now, or wants to be, because they want something at sticker, not because they want it, but because it's worth more than sticker, because they think somebody else will want it more than them. And I told him, I was like, listen, you're too late in the game anyway. It's like walking into a Rolex store and going, I want to be a great customer. Sorry, we have 100 people in line already that are VIP customers, both at the Porsche dealer and the Rolex dealer, that have been playing this game for 20 years and spending millions and millions of dollars. By the time you, as a new customer, get your GT3, nobody else is going to want it. So you better decide that you actually want that car, because by the time you get it, there will be no resale opportunity. So I don't know if you took my advice, but
I mean, he probably just went to somebody else who told him what he wanted to hear. But I mean, it's a
which is the Porsche salesman. That's their sales line, is you can buy this and you won't lose money on it. That's not selling the car. That's not building value. A real sales guy can sell a friggin' Maserati. Those are the best salesmen. This car is going to fall apart. You're going to lose your shirt, and it's going to be horrendously unreliable, but it will be worth every penny of it because
when it works,
that's a salesman.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody just wants to throw money around too. It's like, oh, I just need to buy all, I need to check these boxes and I'll be a premier customer and I can get just quote unquote a GT3. Yeah. And if they actually wanted the car, the used market is filled with cars that are not that old. Solve the same problem.
But then they have to pay over sticker. They want to buy them a sticker. They want to buy an opportunity that other people don't have.
Do you think they did the math of like estimating? Well, they called you, so no, they didn't. But like, I wonder when those lines cross. Like, if you put all this money in to get to a GT3 so you can sell it above sticker, you're not selling it for a Turbo S and a normal 911 price. That's like what, $300,000 for the Turbo S and the 911, $400,000.
Well, I think that they believe they can sell the Turbo S and not lose money also, because it's a year and a half wait. But
blech, it's all gross.
Yes, I don't get it. Listen, I realize I am my own walking contradiction, because this last month through Switch Cars, we sold 2 GT3s that were one-off cars, and part of the selling point was the color. But the people that bought them wanted them because they loved the spec. It was a bonus that they were one-off spec, but I wasn't like, oh my gosh, this GT3 RS is the only one because it has this CXX and whatever. I was like, this is an amazing car because it has all this stuff. And yes, it is rare and hard to find other ones like that, but you don't buy it just because it's rare. You buy it because this is an awesome spec.
Yes.
So with that said, Porsche people are just Corvette people with more money. If you enjoy this podcast, we'd love it if you would help us out with the algorithms. like, subscribe, share, review wherever you listen and enjoy this podcast. Send us a 5-star review. Send it to your friends. That would be awesome. We don't ask for your money, although some of you give super chats, and that's wonderful. We appreciate the tips. But the best gift you can give us is to share it and tell your friends. That way we can grow organically like we have been doing. We have an update on, well, we have an update on one scam, and we have another one that took place recently this last couple weeks. So we're going to get into that, but let's get to a commercial first.
Switchcast is brought to you by Celebrity Machines. Celebrity Machines offers more than 250 different screen-accurate license plates, as they've appeared in movies and TV shows like Back to the Future, Ghostbusters, The Fast and the Furious, Breaking Bad, and so many more. Celebrity Machines also makes our dealer insert plates, as well as our commemorative 2539 plates from the fastest cannonball run ever. Visit CelebrityMachines.com for more info and use promo code SWITCHCAST to save 25.39% at checkout. Those of you just joining in now, we're about to head into Doug's story time featuring scams.
This week, or a couple weeks ago, a Lamborghini was stolen by a transport company. We've covered the woes of shipping cars many times and how to avoid scams. This may be a new one, but there's a preventable lesson to be learned here. So I'm going to be very careful with what I relay, because a lot of this is off of social media posts and forwarded to me by a good source, but it is, I guess we'll say, secondhand information. So all of this is essentially according to what we've heard, lest we get in legal trouble. I think that should cover it, right?
Yeah.
Just according to what I've heard.
Allegedly. Everything is allegedly.
Right. We do our best to verify certain things. And if we're going to make definitive statements, we certainly do dig into things before we call people out specifically. But this one is a little more difficult because there's a lot of information. But the basic gist of it is somebody booked a Lamborghini to be picked up after the Savage Rally, and they booked it through movecars.com, which is, I think there's also imovecars.com, and you move cars, and we all move cars, and there's 18 million different broker websites. But number one, save that for later. They booked it through a broker. The car got picked up by a transport company, allegedly. The name of the company that picked it up was Johnny's Trucking LLC, allegedly. The car then disappeared. It got stolen by the trucking company. Now, what I've seen in terms of screenshots of these conversations is that, Johnny's Trucking did not actually pick up the vehicle, but their credentials were stolen, likely through centraldispatch.com, which is the main load board that all the dealers and trucking companies and brokers use to find other companies. So if you go online and book a car through a broker like movecars.com or iShipAnyCar or Montway or any number of brokers, they're likely going to just post it on here, pick a half decent trucker or the cheapest trucker they can find, and sub it out to this trucker. So you honestly often have no idea who is actually shipping your vehicle. So Johnny's Trucking LLC. I'm looking them up on Central Dispatch right now. They've been on Central Dispatch since 2007, so likely not a scam. No recent ratings, but their overall ratings are generally positive, 98 plus. But their most recent rating was in September of 2022. So I don't know how much recent business they've been doing. Anyway, so allegedly there was a data breach or something. Somebody logged into Central Dispatch with this company's credentials. Allegedly, that's what they're claiming. And found this load and essentially stole the load. So they got the information of this Lamborghini that needed to be picked up or that was contracted to be picked up and went and got it, pretending to be Johnny's Trucking. So that's certainly a scary new type of phenomenon, but it's still preventable. Still preventable. We'll get into that. The vehicle was found. There is a detail wrap ceramic coating shop in Texas who posted the car on their Instagram, like as marketing. Hey, we're doing wrap and ceramic coating on this car. So because everybody had, you know, posted and reposted this car and knew it was stolen, immediately people picked up on it and were like, oh my gosh, that's the car. So they reported it. Well, it was then found at a house nearby, which also where they found a stolen Cadillac ATS-V when they went to get the Lamborghini.
Nice.
Yeah.
Two birds, one stone.
Yep. Yeah. So apparently there's, according to my source, there's some other Facebook groups have people have noted that there was a data breach and a lot of passwords were stolen. And I guess people are, you know, getting information on loads and then, you know, going there and picking them up either with fake bill of ladings or no bill of ladings or whatever. There's a couple lessons to be learned here. So one of the people that posted on Instagram to kind of like make the one broker site look bad was just another broker. And I'm like, that isn't going to solve the problem. Like using a better broker than some other guy doesn't work. We ran into an issue a couple months ago with a broker that we didn't pick, but the customer really, really, really wanted to use. And the guy he sent damaged the car that was shipped. It was a low mile Porsche 993 and it got damaged and they repainted it like before it showed up to the customer.
Terrible
paint job on the bumper. Right. And then we got blamed and I'm like, no, it's the trucker that was subbed out with the broker used. Oh no, we've never had a problem. I'm like, cool. It wasn't that way when it left. So you now have had a problem.
Yeah.
Just because you haven't in the past. Problem. Broker. Broker's the problem. Transport brokers, zero value. Zero value. So if you book with a broker, you don't know who is picking up your car. So when Johnny's Trucking LLC shows up, you don't know if it's Johnny's Trucking LLC or not because you don't have a relationship with the owner of the company. You haven't gotten a text from the owner saying, hey, we're coming to pick up your car, right? Like, It's the same as these wire transfer scams where people will hack into people's email, see that a wire transfer request has been sent, and then email them and say, oh, by the way, no, send it to this account instead. So unless you call the person you're sending a wire to verify that that really happened, people are sending money to totally different accounts. It's the same scam, just with stolen information. And if you are booking directly with a reputable company, that can't happen because you know the friggin' company. So using a broker in general opens you up to this kind of risk because the broker just is not going to vet the company properly and they're not going to even be aware that a fake company is showing up. And you don't know either because half the time you don't even know what the name of the company is that's been contracted out to pick up your car. You have no idea.
So you just have to assume. And you're like, I don't know, guy's here with a truck.
Right.
Says he's here for the car.
Right. Now, there are precautions you can take to prevent yourself getting scammed. When the trucker shows up, friggin' get his driver's license. Get the DOT and the MC number off of his truck. Get a copy of the bill of lading and call either the broker that booked it or the parent company and say, hey, does this guy work for you? Is this an authorized pickup? It's very simple. Assume you're getting scammed every time and just verify. Like when you get a cashier's check, call the friggin' bank and use the control number on the cashier's check and say, is this a real cashier's check? I don't have sympathy for people to get fake cashier's checks because I'm like, all you have to do is call the freaking bank. oh, it was a good fake.
How are you supposed to
verify
know?
It.
Unless you're looking at cashier's checks every day, how are you supposed to know it doesn't look right? Verify. There's a lot of trusting going on,
There's way too much trusting. A lot of trusting and not too much verifying. Yes. Tyler, ladies and gentlemen.
If only people had more anxiety, things would be okay.
Oh, man. On another note, we've got more allegedlys. So we've talked about Charles Harris and Direct Auto Tennessee in the past. We did a VinWiki video that got taken down because Mr. Charles Harris, the scammer himself, threatened to sue everybody into oblivion for defamation. Real rich there. His last text to me, I think, was, I'll see you in court. And I really, really wish I would have responded, not if I see you first. I'm like, missed opportunity. I mean, 3 weeks later.
Hey, I just need a little bit of time after a serious engagement. I can think of a great comeback. Bro, just give me 3 weeks.
Well, because there are, like, the prosecutors are circling. This guy is eventually going to go to jail. But in the meantime, he's supposedly running more scams. So the most recent one, now again, we don't know that he was the perpetrator of this scam, but he was involved. And it's very coincidental that somebody who has had a felony charge and served prison time for a financial scam in the past, this is fact, can't sue me for this, this is look upable, and somebody who has stolen a bunch of money from people and delivered cars without titles or sold cars which had liens on titles and did not pay them off, also verified fact by more and more people, they're coming out of the woodworks, then is involved in the sale of a Porsche GT3 where somebody is out $125,000. So here's what happened apparently a couple weeks ago, and I did talk to the person who was involved in this transaction. Charles Harris is brokering a deal, found this GT3 for sale, and sold it to another dealer. So he got a copy of the payoff. There was a bank payoff that was around $30,000 plus or minus. So the dealer sends the money for the payoff to the bank. And typically when that happens, you send the money to the payoff, you get proper powers of attorneys and authorization for payoff and everything from the customer that owns the car. And then you send them money once that's all completed. Essentially, once you have legal transfer of the vehicle and or ability to transfer the title once it's all paid off. Now, I don't know if the dealer didn't do their homework or just got a little bit in a rush because maybe it was a great deal, but Charles convinced them to wire the balance very quickly, and it went to an LLC in Indiana, which didn't belong to the owner of the car. So the vehicle got paid off to the bank, the 30-some thousand, and then the $125,000 balance got wired to an LLC in Indiana, which then disappeared.
Ooh, nice.
Yep. And it was not the owner's, because when they called the owner to pick up the car, he's like, what are you talking about? I didn't sell the car.
Oof.
Yeah. So Charles's alleged excuse was, whoops, guess I messed up. Didn't know that was a scam. So he cost him $125,000, and his response was, I'm sorry. That sucks.
I mean, yes, but
there has been no connection made to Charles and this LLC yet. Yet. Ugh. But gee, it just keeps happening. And I heard of two more people recently that bought cars in 2022 from Direct Auto Tennessee / Charles Harris, which still have liens on them. Hmm. We're thinking of starting a support group for all these people and then turning all that stuff over to some sort of prosecutor or the FBI or whatever, because this is interstate. So I think it would be federal wire fraud charges.
Oh, boy.
My understanding, not of This is not legal advice. It's just my understanding of what has happened to people in the past.
Yeah. I don't know. I just imagine in my head, state lines, you cross immediately FBI.
Right.
It just runs right up the ladder.
Right.
Blitzkrieg19 on YouTube says we should have a new segment called What I Should Have Said for all of these fantastic comebacks that we think of.
That would be a very long segment because I've got a lot of great comebacks later.
I don't write them down because I think it would just depress me how not creative in the moment I am. It's like, oh, I could win an argument if we had like arguments over text are so much better because I can think of a response. I can workshop it. I can whiteboard.
You can even unsend them now.
Oh, yeah. It's like you can. It's like, ooh, maybe that wasn't right.
That was a terrible response. No, it wasn't. Look at it. Wait a minute. It's different.
Ooh.
The number one I should have said was the Lamborghini kit car interaction. So many people on social media were like, dude, that guy owned you. And I'm like, yes, I know he did. But he still had the fake car. I was so baffled by the level of moronicness coming out of his mouth and the boldness of his lies. I was just like, what?
You're just sitting there short-circuiting while he's getting the laughs.
Right. I'm like, I've never seen somebody be this confident about being an idiot that I just don't know how to process this. You don't have enough money to see the engine. What?
Oh, God.
How do you even prepare for to yeah, respond to something like that?
That wasn't on my argument bingo card.
Bro, your Lamborghini is fake. It's a Fiero. No, it's not. It's a Corvette.
What?
What?
I mean,
I could have John Tamarian and Valentino Balboni there, and both of them would have been like, there's a saying that you should never argue with fools because they drag you down to their level and then beat you with experience.
I was going to say, my dad used to tell me that when I was growing up.
I mean, that was, speaking of things I should have said, that should have been my response to everybody who was making fun of me for not having a great response for this guy is, well, I'm sorry, I don't have that much experience being an idiot.
You actually came out on top. If we think about this months later, I think you did fine.
Oh, gosh. Do we have a good question of the week?
We got a handful of questions. We do have one we should get to from Fanfic Rocks. Fanfic Rocks, last week, right as we slammed the stop button on the stream, sent a super chat. And then sent another one this evening to just say, hey,
please,
do you remember my question?
Answer my question. All right. Well, question of the week, whatever one it is brought to you by Nuts for Sticks.
And Nuts for Sticks is a brand celebrating the manual transmission in all its forms. So forget the flappy paddles. We like shifting ourselves. Check out our fun and funny stick-themed shirts at nutsforsticks.com and save 10% on your order using the discount code SWITCHCAST. That is nutsforsticks.com and use code SWITCHCAST. Alrighty, from Fanfic Rocks, in the game Asphalt 9, which I think is like a mobile game. They used to make the Asphalt games for like the Nintendo DS handheld.
I don't know.
But I think it's a mobile game. The feature car.
I don't
play
video games. Is this a question about the video game?
It's a question about a car in the game.
Okay.
The feature car for the season, I guess seasons are things that games do now to keep you coming back and playing them, so they do new like downloadable content, events, whatever.
Makes sense.
A 911 Carrera RS 3.8, which I believe is 993.
993, yes.
In the real world, is it a good car or is the hype kind of BS? Have you driven one?
I've driven like tributes and clones of them. And they're awesome. The 993 by itself is a fantastic platform. It's my favorite air-cooled car to drive. So if you add lightness and horsepower and torque and steering responsiveness, it can only be amazing. And everybody I know that has one says they are fantastically amazing as well. The one thing I've heard is the Club Sport is like too much for the street. It's just too over the top. So people are moving to the touring model, which has, you know, carpet and AC and stuff like that. Not a full roll cage in it. But yeah, it is one of my grail cars, kind of. I mean, any sort of special 993, like a Roof CTR2 or a 993 Carrera RS, anything like that.
Is the CTR-2 the one we saw at Amelia where the big old wing is like functional to shove air into a couple of radiators?
And it has like the two level wing. Yeah.
It's like somebody saw those, like the Ford Escort Cosworths in Sierra and were like, ooh, yes, but on my 911.
Right.
So good.
Right. The rest of the questions we're going to do in bonus round, because the props and flops of the week may be a wee bit of discussion. So we're going to keep things moving here, and we're going to go to the props and flops. I know it sounds early, but, these are not quick hitters.
Yes, and props and flops, like they are every week, are brought to you by Switch Cars. Switch Cars is the enthusiast's dealership where we buy, sell, consign, service, and store only cars that we like ourselves. So check out our handpicked inventory at switchcars.com. And Doug, what is our pick of the week?
2006 997 Carrera S, midnight blue over sea blue interior with the sport seats.
Oh.
May sound familiar to some of you. Well, that's because our name is Switch Cars. The guy bought it back in February, didn't even get it off the temp tags, and traded it back in for another car.
Nice.
Yep. Love it. It's a fantastic spec. Probably a one of one. Super rare. Our flop of the week. This may be controversial. Stay with me. New York may be reducing speed limits to 10 or 20 miles per hour within the city if they get control of the budget. So they're proposing a law. I think it actually did pass. Since I read this article, I think April 21st, I believe it passed. So New York will be adjusting their speed limits down. Now, this is part of Sammy's Law, which was named after a 12-year-old who was killed by a vehicle. Now, hang with me here. I'm not trying to be insensitive here or stomp on anyone's grave, because anytime somebody dies in an accident, it is awful. But I'm reading the article surrounding this. And it's difficult not to be cynical. So what happened was this Sammy kid was bouncing a ball off of a monument. The ball rolled into the street and he went out to get it. So supposedly drivers going one way stopped and a driver going the other way sped up to make a traffic light and ran him over, which caused his death. Now, the driver was not charged with anything. He did lose his license for 6 months, but he was not charged. So the mom of Sammy, who was reasonably distraught and understandably, took her sadness and turned it into action, we'll say. She wanted to pass a law to reduce speed limits within the city. Because according to her, she said to the effect of, if the speed limit was 20 instead of 30, Sammy would still be alive. I don't think that's it. I'm sorry. According to one article about this, just 4 speeding tickets last August were issued in that precinct. 4. So either they're not enforcing the speed limit or nobody's speeding. So the speed thing isn't the problem. Maybe, just maybe, teaching your kid not to run out in the road after a ball is a thing. I learned that. I teach my kid that. Like, it's New York City. Cars have the right of way, and they're a lot bigger than you. Like, I don't believe that the difference between 25 and 20 is going to save a whole ton of lives. It's a difference of like 2 feet stopping distance. Now, maybe you can say, oh, wow, that's the difference between hitting somebody and not. But like,
yeah, I was terrified of the road growing up. And I was on a very suburban side street, not a touch, but I was very scared of going even near the road. And I'm surprised, though, is it even possible to go faster than 10 miles an hour in New York City?
That's also a very valid point. Like, what difference is this going to make? This is New York City. And it doesn't apply to roads with more than 3 lanes in each direction. So it's essentially like smaller lane roads, which there's always traffic and delivery trucks and everything and anything all the time. But it is this consistent narrative that, well, we just lower the speed limits, we'll save lives. And they initially lowered it from 30 to 25. And they said, well, that's not enough. Got to go more. 25 to 20. Which at some point, just make it like 5 miles an hour, right? Like if slower is safer, then just let's all walk. So one article, though, did say that in 2022, the U.S. saw the highest number of children killed by cars. But they didn't link it to speeding. I would allege that it's because kids are all walking around like zombies on their friggin' cell phones and not paying attention. Like, what year is that Pokemon craze where everybody...
Oh, Pokemon Go?
Go?
Yeah.
Did we look at the statistics for, you know, pedestrians hit that year?
No, but we probably should.
I bet they're off the charts. Anyway, the biggest principle, the problem here in my eyes is the principle of making like generalized sweeping laws based off of one extreme situation or emotional plea from a singular scenario. If it's something that needs to be changed, if it's a real problem, it will present itself, you know, over and over again. Now there are statistics that say in certain cities where they have reduced the speed limit, it has reduced accidents. So, you know, maybe that is a thing. But let's go off the statistics and say this is a real thing. This is working places, and let's implement that because it's working. Let's find a real correlation and listen to the data and solve problems that exist for the general public. I don't know that making a law off of one scenario, which wasn't the fault of somebody going 30 instead of 25. It was the fault of a kid going in the road after a ball. Like, the driver of the van that hit him has emotional damage. They could have lobbied for like, you know, sweeping school reform where they teach parents how to parent their kids to not run out in the street. I don't know. I mean, you can look at it either different way, but
Asphalt Serpent on YouTube says that everyone who drives in NYC now must have a carbon ceramic big brake kit. G. Smith responded after with, I think, a really good way to sum all this up is terrible accident. To lose a child is something that you can't imagine. Let's not pass a law that doesn't work, though.
Yeah. And I thank you for summing it up well, because I am not trying. I cannot imagine this in any way. But if something like that happens to me, and let's say I make the mistake, right? I mean, riding dirt bikes or doing anything like that that's inherently dangerous. I don't want the world to change because something happens that was a mistake, you know. But if it's an endemic problem, then let's talk about it. Let's find a solution for something that's happening over and over. But I would allege that it's that people driving and or walking on their cell phones is far more dangerous than the difference between 20 and 30 miles an hour.
Because it is getting infuriating how we talk about it almost every week, but like how much nobody in power is talking about that at all. So many other folks like us are talking about the cell phone while driving problem. So many people I know that aren't even car enthusiasts have noticed it.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to be doing anything.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the other side of the spectrum, Oklahoma Turnpike Authority raised speed limits in many sections from 75 miles an hour to 80 miles an hour.
Woo!
Let me tell you, it is not going to do one bit of difference until they get the slowpokes going 65 out of the left lane. Oklahoma is one of the worst states for left lane hogs. You could remove the speed limit entirely and the average speed wouldn't change because you'd still have people going 65 in the left lane all of the time. Our prop of the week is Carvana.
Ooh, time for a stock price check. I'm being stared at. Oh boy.
Whoa. Yes. Carvana posted their first ever real profit, not pumped up profit. They actually made a net profit. They made money. And I am proud of them. As much as I predicted their demise, which I was still right because they did a voluntary bankruptcy, a debt restructuring, almost $1 billion. And if they didn't do that, they may have been bankrupt. However, despite having to pay $153 million in interest per quarter, they still made enough more than that they took home profit.
This is incredible.
It is really incredible. And I have to give them props for it. I like the business model of Carvana. I do. I think that is the future. I just don't like that it took them 12 plus years to make friggin' money. And in doing so, they've burned through billions and billions of dollars of investors' money, shareholders' money. Like, I don't like that culture of venture capitalists, of growth at all costs, of let's just spend money, invest, and somebody else foots the bill because we're going to go public and the original investors make back all their money and the shareholders are left holding the bag on this bumpy road. Because there's so many other companies that fail. EV is a great example of that, of all these startups that go belly up because they're not just doing it simply and going, let's make money. Let's do one location and make it work. One vending machine, make it work, and then do two, and then do four, and then do eight, and then do 20, and then do 200. They could have made money in 2015 if they had done it that way. So props to Carvana for a turnaround. We'll see if it lasts. They still have a lot of debt to pay off, but they say they are committed to paying it off, which I approve of. The problem with the debt, really, and this is why I'm still skeptical about Carvana, is if they don't have a good quarter, they still have to pay the debt. They had a monster quarter this quarter, but that could turn, the used car market could dry up and they could suck wind and they still got to pay $150 million a quarter.
Oof.
So.
For those of you keeping track, though, it's gone up 28% in after hours trading. It is a wall on the little trend line.
Yep. But again, that's why Dave Ramsey says debt is dumb, because it's the risk. They have to keep beating last quarter. They have to in order to dig out of this hole. They are still in a multi-billion dollar hole. If they had done it at the speed of cash, if they had grown as they profited, then this would all be gravy and they'd be partying and everybody would be making money. And it's just like, great, we're off to the races. And if we have a bad quarter, it doesn't friggin' matter because we own all our crap. So, second prop of the week is Switch Cars.
Woo!
Yes, almost as long time coming as Carvana making a profit, Switch Cars has a new website.
Huzzah!
Yes, we've been profitable for a long time, but yes, we finally got a new website. It was about 6 years overdue. It is awesome. It was designed by our very own Ethan Huffnagel, producer extraordinaire and website builder.
Let me make a caveat. I did not design it.
I'm sorry.
I developed it.
You are correct. There was, yes. Evan Pickard did the the graphic design, the site design, colors, themes, et cetera, and logo. But Ethan Huffnagel built it out and integrated everything in. So thank you for that correction, Ethan. We do want to give credit where credit is due. So just another reason to go check out switchcars.com, because now you can actually browse it on your phone.
I can confirm. I did it earlier today. It's a glorious experience. Before, it was a struggle.
Link in bio, or not bio. What do they say in the description? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's down, down
the
there.
Description
right
below.
Yeah.
I did have somebody say they're going to miss the old website because it was, that made them feel like nostalgic. It's like, oh man.
What did the, you had a great interaction yesterday on Instagram where you did a whole thing where you're like, hey, you know, not all of our cars sell through our website. Here's like our top four favorite cars last week that sold through like social media or whatever. And some guy commented, he was like, oh, well, did they not make it to the website because the fax machine wasn't working?
So good.
So good. So
that
good.
Was good. Yeah. Yep. So to celebrate, we've got some fake champagne here. Not from France. And for soundbite here, especially for you audio people, we are opening this and celebrating the new website and a toast to Carvana making money. If only I'd bought their stock.
I know. Again, I should have bought the stock. If this hits me in the eye, Doug, do I get workers' comp?
Whoa,
that
whoa.
Almost hit me in the head.
All right. Hey, congrats.
Somebody shook that one up.
Yeah, can we? Now that I've evaded death, can somebody get some paper towels?
On the-
oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, I should have done a Formula One style.
My goodness. My life flashed before my eyes.
Yeah.
All right. Champagne for everybody. If you're sitting at home and you don't have somewhere to drive or whatnot and don't have a problem, then pour yourself a drink and go to Switch Cars.
Woo.
Pour a few drinks and then go to Switch Cars and use the contact form to to make us an offer. Anyway, that'll wrap it up. We're going to go into the live Tip Talk section after this. Thank you to my co-host, Tyler Sanders, to our producer and website builder, Ethan Huffnagel. If you need a great website built or digital marketing, check out semdeck.com, S-E-M-D-E-C-K.com. That's not a paid promotion. That is just a shout out for our boy. thank you to our sponsors, Boxcast, Nuts for Sticks, Switch Cars, Celebrity Machines, Parallel Printworks, and Stephen Holm Woodworking. Our bumper music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. This episode will be available next Monday in audio format wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 8 p.m. as we look forward to edifying, educating, and entertaining you on the drive of your life.